A collision between two medevac helicopters claims six lives. AOPA makes Phil Boyer's retirement official. And you really might want to get to the airport 2 hours early. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, July 1st, 2008. Officials now report six fatalities following the in-flight collision of two medevac helicopters about 3:48 p.m. Mountain Time Sunday afternoon near a hospital in Flagstaff, Arizona. A seventh person is listed in critical condition. The National Transportation Safety Board has dispatched a GO team to investigate. The collision involved two Bell 407 EMS helicopters, one operated by Air Methods, the other by Classic Helicopters, and it happened less than a mile from the Flagstaff Medical Center. Coconino County Sheriff spokesman Jerry Blair said the crash started a 10-acre brush fire, but authorities were able to extinguish it. We'll have more details as they become available at aero-news.net. William C. Trimble III, the chairman of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association Board of Trustees, made it official yesterday. AOPA President Phil Boyer will retire at the end of this year, after 18 years in the organization's left seat. Confirming reports ANN first received over the weekend, veteran Washington Public Affairs executive and political insider Craig L. Fuller has been selected by the AOPA Board of Trustees as the next president of the group, which, with 414,000 members, represents almost 70% of U.S. pilots. Fuller Craig is a 40-year pilot with an instrument rating, an aircraft owner, and an AOPA member. Trimble added, quote, "He is as comfortable with fellow pilots and hangar talk as he is facing a congressional committee," unquote. His Washington experience includes major roles with the Reagan administration in the 1980s. He'll be leaving his current post as executive vice president at global public affairs and strategic communications company APCO Worldwide in Washington to become AOPA's president. Boyer commented, quote, "I'm delighted Craig will captain AOPA on the next leg of this remarkable journey to preserve and advance general aviation," unquote. Following several months of transition work with Boyer, Fuller will take office on January 1st of 2009, following formal election at the trustees' September annual meeting of members. One of the most unpleasant parts of airport security following 9/11 is making an unwelcome comeback. Transportation security officers are resuming random additional screening at airline gates. If you're flying through a U.S. airport this summer, you may be pulled aside for more rigorous checks, including a second look at your ID and boarding passes, physical searches of carry-on luggage, the use of handheld explosive detection units, and screening of individuals. Officers are also authorized to board aircraft at gates for searches and to frisk ramp personnel. In addition, behavior detection officers will provide additional security. They screen travelers for involuntary physical and physiological reactions that indicate stress, fear, or deception. The first two of which, of course, could be natural reactions to knowing you could be frisked at random. Well, I guess it's worth it if we can be certain no shampoo makes it through undetected. If you started getting around the new charges most airlines levy on a second checked bag by cramming more in your carry-on, consider yourself to be on notice. A crackdown is coming. The Associated Press reports that most U.S. carriers, especially U.S. Airways, American, and United, which all charge $15 now for the first checked bag, will bust you if you try to carry on a bag too big to fit in the overhead bins. U.S. Airways spokesman Morgan Durant says, quote, "We're planning on having extra staff where possible, especially at peak times at busy airports," unquote. American Airlines says it will even post observers near security screening lines to alert passengers to oversized carry-ons before they go to the trouble of dragging them through security. Coming up next on ANN, a microburst is blamed for the death of an airshow spectator. The DOT will look deeper into the FAA airline maintenance scandal. And a wealthy donor saves a Western New York aviation museum. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 1st, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. A strong isolated thunderstorm is being blamed for a sudden microburst in the middle of the Huntsville International Airport air show Sunday afternoon. One child was killed and 12 other people injured. The Associated Press reported the microburst occurred at 1:45 p.m. local time on Sunday. Witnesses reported a 5-year-old boy was killed when a generator fell on him. Another child was taken to Huntsville Hospital in critical condition. 11 others were treated for injuries including lacerations and fractures and released, according to Huntsville Hospital spokeswoman Pam Sparks. The strong winds toppled 15 tents, damaged the Virtual Army Experience exhibit, and picked up and overturned the airshow announcer stand. A meteorologist at the National Weather Service in Huntsville said winds measured up to 48 miles per hour during the storm, but a microburst can contain much higher winds in a specific location. The FAA is facing a wide-ranging investigation into recent maintenance troubles at airlines. The Washington Post quotes the Department of Transportation's Inspector General in reporting the probe was prompted by congressional criticism of the FAA. The Office of Inspector General would not name the one airline it says is being targeted in particular, but pilots and American Airlines officials report the IG staff has been focusing on that carrier in recent weeks. The FAA said earlier this year it improperly allowed Southwest Airlines to fly jets in need of key safety checks. The Inspector General is expected to release a report on that case soon. American Airlines says the FAA ordered it to ground its entire fleet of MD-80s in mid-April, which resulted in more than 3,000 flight cancellations that stranded about 350,000 passengers. An aviation museum in western New York is nearing a positive end to a turbulent struggle after eviction from its location in Niagara Falls in January. The Buffalo News reports the Niagara Aerospace Museum will be relocated to the city of Buffalo and renamed the Ira G. Ross Aerospace Museum. The exact location has not been officially chosen, but the museum board is focusing on a possible location on the waterfront near the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park. That's according to museum director Jack Wasaki. The museum started in vacant space in a shopping mall in Niagara Falls, but had moved to rented space on the first floor of a former office building downtown in recent years to attempt to draw more tourists visiting Niagara Falls. In 2004, the building was taken over by the Seneca Gaming Corporation as part of its casino complex, and the museum was forced to close on January 8th of this year. Museum artifacts and aircraft, including a 1917 Curtis Jenny, a Bell X-22A prototype, and a Bell P-39-era Cobra, had to be placed in storage. The move to Buffalo and the renaming of the museum are the terms of a $1 million endowment from the late Dr. Elizabeth Olmsted Ross, an aviation pioneer and former member of the museum board, who died in September. The new name is in memory of Ross's husband, a pilot and pioneering physicist and engineer who oversaw Curtis Wright Corporation's Flight Research Department in Buffalo and later headed CALSPAN, the Cornell University Aeronautical Laboratory. While the Air Force prepares its response to the Government Accountability Office in the dispute over the KCX aerial tanker of the future, it suddenly finds itself the target of a lawsuit over another contract for maintenance of its existing half-century-old tanker fleet. Alabama Aircraft Industries, which filed the suit, says the Air Force improperly awarded Boeing a $1.1 billion maintenance contract. AAI President Ron Aramini called the process significantly flawed. Government regulators twice sided with AAI in its protest of the contract, but denied the company's third protest. Alabama Aircraft Industries alleges the Air Force, quote, failed to take appropriate corrective action in response to the GAO's December 27th and February 1st decisions, unquote, for the KC-135 tanker maintenance contract. Meanwhile, the plot thickens in the KCX battle. Boeing's supporters in Congress introduced legislation last week that would withhold defense funds unless the Air Force either awards the contract to Boeing or rebids it, as the GAO suggested. The bill was blocked in the Senate on Friday by Senator Jeff Sessions, who is a Republican from Alabama, where Northrop and Eads would do the finishing work on their version of the tanker. Fellow Alabama Republican Joe Bonner said that Boeing and its supporters were trying to force the Air Force into settling for the second-best plane. Quote, "The company's sense of entitlement and arrogance are breathtaking," unquote. Still ahead, Delta says it's going to start charging for free SkyMiles tickets. NASA's Barbara Morgan leaves for academia. And a former NetJets flight attendant sues J-Lo. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, July 1st, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. In an unprecedented move, Delta Airlines said Friday it's going to begin adding a fuel surcharge to free passenger tickets awarded through its frequent flyer program to help offset rising fuel costs. Tickets awarded through the SkyMiles program will be hit with an extra charge for $25 on domestic flights and $50 on international tickets starting August 15th. Jeff Robertson, the managing director of Delta's SkyMiles program, told Dow Jones, quote, "This was a difficult but essential decision in the face of record high fuel costs. We hope this is temporary, and should fuel prices subside from current levels, we will reevaluate this surcharge," unquote. Well, that only seems fair. After all, frequent flyers are no doubt reevaluating their participation in SkyMiles. NASA announced on Monday that veteran space shuttle program astronaut Barbara R. Morgan will leave NASA in August to become an educator at Idaho's Boise State University. She was the agency's first educator astronaut and logged more than 305 hours in space aboard the Shuttle Endeavour's STS-118 assembly mission to the International Space Station in August of last year. She operated the shuttle and station robotic arms to install hardware, inspect the orbiter, and support spacewalks. She also served as loadmaster for the transfer of supplies between the shuttle and the station, taught lessons from space to school children on Earth, and served on the flight deck during re-entry and landing. Astronaut Office Chief Steve Lindsay commented, quote, "Barbara has served NASA and the astronaut office with distinction over the course of her career. From the teacher in space program to her current position as a fully qualified astronaut, she has set a superb example and been a consistent role model for both teachers and students. She will be missed." Morgan will serve as distinguished educator in residence at Boise State, providing vision and leadership to the state of Idaho on science, technology, engineering, and math education. A former NetJets flight attendant is claiming substantial economic loss after she says she was unable to return to work after falling on a flight. But she's not suing NetJets. 40-year-old Lisa Wilson has filed a $5 million lawsuit against Jennifer Lopez and her production company. Wilson was a flight attendant aboard a July 3, 2006 Gulfstream flight that was carrying Lopez, her husband, two children, and their German Shepherd guard dog, Floyd, from Farmingdale, New York to Burbank, California. Wilson claims the dog lunged at her, biting her pant leg, as she walked down the aisle 90 minutes into the flight. According to the complaint, Wilson twisted and fell as a result, injuring her lower back. Court documents say she began treatment within days, remains in treatment today, and has been unable to resume her career. Neither Jennifer nor Floyd have officially commented. And finally, as the population of the area surrounding Mobile, Alabama, waits to see whether the Northrop Grumman contract to build the KC-45A tanker holds up through a Boeing protest, The Seattle Times reports a local restaurant has been surprised at the popularity of a publicity stunt which exploited local sentiment. Fusakli's Chicken Fingers Restaurants, which has four locations in the Mobile area, adopted the slogan, quote, "We would like to offer Boeing a finger," unquote. Owner Will Fassati initially wrote the finger slogan on a menu board in one of his restaurants. Customer response was so great, he paid for a 48-foot digital billboard facing I-65 and has sold hundreds of bumper stickers and T-shirts. So far, it hasn't had much effect on the sales of chicken fingers. Fassati tells the paper, quote, "Our business has been about the same." He also admits that with the recent local expansion in the steel and shipbuilding industries in the area will grow with or without the KC-45A contract. But there is one very satisfying outcome of the slogan campaign. Fassati says that among the orders for T-shirts and bumper stickers emblazoned with the slogan, "We would like to offer Boeing a finger," some of the orders come from email addresses ending in Boeing.com. Here's a friendly tip to Boeing employees. Don't wear that shirt to work, even on really, really casual Friday. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the first of two parts, Phil Boyer reflects back on 18 years at AOPA. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.